Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson, creators of the podcast Guys We Fucked and author of the new book Fucked, Being Sexually Explorative and Self-Confident in a World That's Screwed. I loved hosting these two women for an extremely frank and fun discussion about confidence and self-acceptance, sexual shame, masturbating with your imagination. Hey, that's a new concept. The right way to communicate before a threesome, why it's important for women to celebrate other women. Yes, even the hottie your ex is sleeping with, and embracing your sexy imperfections once and for all. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our podcast. We release it 2 times a week. If you don't know that, and you can easily subscribe to the podcast and check out all the blogs. We do post things on the website every day so you guys can have better sex and relationships, because that's why you're here, right? And also, social media is an awesome way to stay connected, per usual, at Sex with Emily across the board, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. I'm jumping into the show because my guests are here. I'm so excited to talk to them. A very special guest. They just flew in. They came to the show. I have the infamous women from the podcast, the very popular, amazing, successful podcast, Guys We Fucked, or F asterisk 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 D, right?
No, yeah, like, yeah,
if
yeah.
you guys don't know. Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Hi.
Welcome to the Sex with Emily podcast.
Hi.
This is a big moment.
I'm
so glad you guys are here. Two sex podcasters uniting.
Yeah.
And in honor of your new book, which we've all read in the office, we're very excited about it. The full title, I'm really excited getting off and saying fuck so much, I said on the show.
Great,
so
go for it.
Fucked, being sexually explorative and self-confident in a world that's screwed. Congratulations.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. It feels really good. So if you guys want to follow them all, this will all be on the website as well, but it's all your social medias at Sorry About Last Night, Facebook and Instagram. And then there's the at SRY About Last NYT.
That's our Twitter.
Nailed it. Mm-hmm. I nailed that.
Yeah.
Tell me about you guys, how you met, how you got started. And for people who haven't been listening to your podcast, I love the story. So let's just get into it.
Yeah. So I moved to New York City to intern for SNL. Is my what I wanted to do. And my first internship was with a management company, talent management, called Lehman Entertainment. Corinne was one of the three people who worked there. So I was pretty much, I was her intern, which is how we met. I was a sophomore in college.
And you guys met that. Okay.
Yeah. And I had just graduated. And it was, I mean, being an assistant in the entertainment business in New York or LA is grueling. You're working super long hours. You're not getting paid a lot. So an intern was extremely helpful. Christina was very helpful when I was crying at my desk on like Friday nights at 10 p.m. because LA likes to take their time in sending things to New York.
And she was so...
Yeah, and like every
so laid back,
every Friday it would happen. Flaky. You know, and I'm in my 20s. I want to go out and live a life. And so Christina then approached me one day and said, I'm doing a stand-up comedy show. Would you have any interest in coming? I did. She was very good, very charismatic, funny jokes. And I had been kind of like undercover, been taking classes at like UCB and going to shows, like spending all my nights in comedy clubs. And so we started our comedy duo, which is called Sorry About Last Night, which is under the umbrella that Guys We Fucked is under.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just started stand up at the same time. We would produce for Sorry About Last Night. We would produce these like really wild, weird late night shows where we would get like donated vodka and make punch, you know, jungle juice with it. And like drinks for donations. And at the end of the night, we're like, I hope we have enough ticket sales to pay for the venue.
I was like he said donated. We were definitely stealing those from like employers.
Yeah, we stole it.
Right, of course. No, I mean, exactly.
The one real estate company I worked for did donate it, but I made it seem
extra.
Like it was for a cause.
Right, right.
The cause was us.
Exactly. Everything's better. I was thinking of actually us. I'm like, should we have some wine? It's Friday afternoon. But we're not. We could. But you had such great chemistry. Did that happen right away? Were you guys taking the classes together? How did you both? I mean, there's so many comedians in the world,
right?
We've
just been working together for a really long time. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier. Like, we have a twin thing.
Secret language. You know, twins speak a secret language. We speak that language fluently.
Yeah. And sometimes we'll say, like, 15 word long sentences at the same time, and we're like, what the fuck? And we have to go shopping together a lot of the time so that we don't buy the same thing, even though we have different senses of style.
Yeah.
But we'll come down from the hotel in the hotel lobby before our show, and then we're both wearing the same thing. We're like, oopsies.
Yeah, when we're on tour, we're a very interesting track record of coming down in the same color and style. Where it's too close.
We each choose to go formal the same time or casual the same time. It's weird.
I think it's maybe we understand the Guys We Fucked audience so well that we know what outfit is called for on any given day in any given location.
That's a better way to say
that's
it.
That's a great, I love that.
There you go.
I love the positive. Because you guys are both like glass half full.
No.
I mean, for comedians, I read
that
your
was
things.
Me bullshitting.
Okay, fine. But who really? But
she's glass half
aspire.
Full.
She is empty. Glass empty.
Mm-hmm.
Totally empty?
It's pretty empty. Mine's overflowing. It's
well,
so
that's
it's
why you guys
opposite.
Balance each other out.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
We all need that, right?
So
and that's
in
part
the
of the humor.
Is
that's
the
perfect.
Reality.
And we all go down and up, let's be honest. Like, I would like to say I'm glass half full, but a lot of times it's, you know, it's dark. But
yeah.
You guys help each other see the light.
Sure.
And you help your listener, well, you know.
Well, one thing we have in common is our sense of humor, and we both like laughing at dark shit. Like really uncomfortable things. And so that's what bonds us.
I want to hear the story about when you actually started, like the whole, like, let's do a podcast about Guys We Fucked.
Okay.
Take it away, Corinne.
I mean, Corinne, this is your story.
The very clear impetus for this was me being dumped in a Panera Bread by this guy that I was dating for 2 years. And I mean, not just any guy. This is, I thought, was the person I was going to spend the rest of my life with.
I called them my idol couple. I'm like,
yeah.
Really?
So cute. I want to be like you guys.
And it wasn't fake. I mean,
it was
a
great relationship.
A lot of it was great.
But you were like in your 20s, not early 20s.
It wasn't the age. It was, I mean, he was 30 when we ultimately broke up. But I mean, it was... I think it was just, you know, like,
it was your first one, right? Your first serious relationship.
I had a 5-year relationship before that. Yeah. I mean, it was just, I needed to go on in my career, and I was more like supporting him in his career, which is, I think, what a lot of, especially men, need. And now the person he's with is that person, and she seems great and like a great fit for him. But, you know, I also think that she maybe has some dreams that she didn't pursue fully.
Right, it's tricky, right?
Because she was like, supporting him.
Right, I got it. Okay, so you got dumped in the bread, Panera Bread, which isn't even a great place, let's be honest. I don't
I was
Panera.
Just there last night.
Really?
And I kicked, there's this homeless guy who was very schizophrenic, and he was saying racial slurs. And I was like, you need to leave. And then I was like, don't stab me.
And then they fucked. Yeah.
They fucked, right. Which is another, right. Everything happens at Panera Bread. Okay, so then you were like, after you got dumped, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, we should just start a podcast.
Well, I was heartbroken. I mean, I was going
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be like, well, you're in your 20s. I get it. Heartbroken
no,
was hard.
No.
I get it.
No, it was fine. It just wasn't about the age. I'm kind of a very old soul anyway. It was just the timing and what he needed from me and what I needed from a partner.
Have you ever gotten dumped before that, Corinne?
No. And it's also like the first time you're dumped is terrible.
Especially if you don't expect it. Even if you look back at our
time. No, it's always terrible. It's the worst thing. No. Right.
Yeah. It's a rejection of who you are.
Exactly.
Completely.
Exactly. And and so I just spent a year wallowing in a pool of my own self-pity. We were working together, making a lot of sketches and still doing live shows. And I just really immersed myself in comedy. And then after a year, I kind of pitched this idea to Christina. And the idea for Guys We Fucked was very much like John Cusack, High Fidelity. Like, let's go back and interview all the people we've had sex and relationships with to use it as a mirror to hold up to ourselves and find out what we could do better.
Right.
And then that very quickly changed into, number one, you just are who you are. It's not so much that you need to change everything about yourself. No. And opened up this much larger conversation that got a lot more serious than we expected. And we were just inundated with emails about things that we have no level of expertise in and kind of had to read and research and
didn't
catch
know
up.
It happened as often. Like, we have a very unique window, and I feel like you probably do too when you hear from your people
this
who listen,
is my neck. Yeah.
Into what people are ashamed of sexually, excited about sexually, and are want to talk about but just won't with the person they're having sex
with. Exactly. So let's talk about that for a minute, because you said your audience knows you, what you'd want when you come down, you know, the outfit. But they do. They really, don't you feel like your audience knows you and you know your audience now? So what have you realized, what surprised you? Because I know you did, you said in your book, which everyone has to check out the book, which I love the way it's written. It's fun. It's light, but it's also got like, it's meaty and light at the same time and entertaining and comedic. Oh yeah. Let's get into the Instagram love. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hello, I'm excited. We're in the middle of a podcast here, and I've got Guys We Fucked here. I've got Corinne, I've got Christina.
All the guys we fucked.
All the guys they fucked already outside. Okay, you guys, they're awesome. We're sitting here, we're just getting into their book. Check out their new book, okay? It's fucked. You should all get this book. You see it? Being sexually, I can't read it back.
Self-confident, sexually explorative in a world that's screwed.
Thank you. In a world that's screwed. And we're getting into it now, so welcome. Thank you for joining us. This is a good time to be here. Okay, so into your book. Well, we'll get into the book and everything, but no, you did say in the book, thank you very much, that you were surprised that people started emailing you. You got the podcast.
Yeah.
You started it 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, these people are emailing like with all these questions. And a lot of it kind of came down to like shame and not accepting themselves and feeling, you're like, wow, people are really going through some things. So what have you learned? What have you...
Well,
tell
I
me
mean,
about, tell,
I,
tell
I think,
me about that shame.
Yeah, I think I mentioned in the book, very succinctly, it's that I realized from doing the podcast what a different experience I've had living my life because I haven't walked around carrying shame and how differently I see the world. And I think that's like, for my half of the podcast, I think that's what I'm really bringing to the table. Just, when people come on and tell their stories or email us, sometimes I'm just sitting there. And I really just feel so disconnected from these people because I can't imagine having gone through these 32 years of my life carrying that weight. Like, life is hard enough feeling good about yourself.
Right.
So if you hate yourself and are ashamed of what you look like, what you love, what you believe in, I mean, that seems to me like an impossible feat.
It is. But you were saying, though, that if you're more glass half empty then.
Yeah.
But you don't have a lot of the shame. So where does all of your other stuff come from?
The reality that people are terrible and the world is a bad place. And I mean,
what's our purpose on the planet? Existential angst?
It's like purpose. I mean, sometimes I can't fall asleep at night just because, you know, because I'll watch like something like the confession tapes on Netflix, and two young men were wrongly accused of murdering the one guy's parents, and then I can't sleep for a week. Right. I mean, I guess that's not normal, but then again, that upsets me greatly.
No, I get it. I get it. I think either we're wallowing in our own stuff, or we're like, then you get to a point where we're like, I actually love myself. I do. And look, the world's such a messed up place. I think those are our choices, because the brain, we love suffering. And we don't love suffering. We can't help it that we're wired to go towards suffering.
Some people are comfortable with it.
We're comfortable. It's like a comfy blanket and we get into suffering. But I think also that's where our mind, I mean, the minds don't default towards happiness. They just don't. Like the Buddha was all about suffering, right? If you go back to like every self-help and every kind of...
I hate suffering.
I know. I don't love suffering. Right. But that's our default.
We do what we can
to bring it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, she doesn't
change
mind
the
it.
Play. To change, right, exactly. Well, you know, hey, we got to make comfort with our whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the emails and the... So from women, so I love the way you guys talk to your listeners and talk to women and the advice you give, because it's kind of like, I think it's so... opening, because women do worry so much about, let's just start with it, with their vaginas. I love your book. Like, I'm like, could you pick your vagina out of a lineup? Like, I had Lark and Jamie come over this morning. I'm like, which vagina are you? Because it's like women, I didn't have the same thing, like maybe because I wasn't watching porn as when I, you know, was growing up learning about sex, there wasn't porn as much where I might have worried about other things, but never my vagina. So that didn't carry over into me right now. But there's a lot of vagina anxiety.
Well, I didn't realize there's a moment in every woman's life where she realizes that not all the vaginas look like the one I have.
Right.
And I didn't know that until like later.
You thought they were all like the same, kind of like we have five fingers and
yeah,
we have like, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's cooler that they don't look
I know.
Like,
you never know what you're going to get.
I didn't know about like when Corinne started talking about like meaty pussies, I'm like, what do you mean by that?
A meaty pussy, right.
Yeah, because I didn't know what that meant. And then, yeah, so I think
the first mention I saw that I even recognized that was a weird or different thing was on like The Hills when they used to call like Lauren beef curtains or something.
They put that on TV on The Hills?
Yeah, they did.
Well, oh, that's terrible. That's where
terrible.
It started.
It's festers hills. Everywhere because, it I mean, does. I got through like 28 years of my life without ever even thinking or noticing that I had anything different or weird or less valuable between my legs. And so it's funny because actually doing this podcast about confidence, like I feel like I'm giving my confidence away, and then people's insecurities, I have to really, really be careful to protect myself from them kind of coming and infiltrating my bubble, because it's
projecting.
Hard
people project
it's
right?
hard not to take that on to you and then start thinking like, oh well, maybe I should have been worried about this the whole time. Am I just a huge narcissist?
Right.
Which I absolutely am, but I don't think that.
But also confident, like,
right, you gotta be
thing.
Right, confident. Cultivating confidence is the most important work that we can do on the planet for men and for women, whoever you are on the planet, because we just, it doesn't naturally come so easily. And since we talk about sex a lot, people, women and men, we have a lot of insecurities around sex. So what would be a message that you think is the most important thing that you tell? Like, I feel like I'm always saying this, but I love the way you guys just sort of talk about your nipples or your...
Yeah. Well, I think with women, it's like yourself first and know how to pleasure yourself first.
Yes.
And those two things. And then when you know what makes you come and you know how to, you know what you like, then you have the tools to at least enter a sexual situation with a partner and say, this is what I like or this is what I don't like. And
so, exactly. The most important thing. So how did you guys know that? Growing up, did you masturbated, right? You both
I masturbated. Like, I humped everything in the goddamn house.
I didn't, from like five onwards.
My first boyfriend taught me
how to masturbate.
He did?
Yeah. I mean, I had just turned 18 and he was, I mean, going on 26. So I was very lucky that I had
Panera?
No.
Oh, different guy.
Yeah, before my college boyfriend who I dated for 5 years, and he was great. And I was really lucky to have someone who was so sex positive and so knowledgeable and like accurate knowledge.
Right. Not like fake news.
Fake sex news guy. Knowledge. Yeah.
No, that is really great for formative years, because most women, and you probably get this from your emails, I know every day we get emails, why can't I have an orgasm? I'm insecure about sitting on top. He's going to look at my boobs. He's going to look at my body. And really, it's basically about orgasms. And I always say, you got to know your own body. What makes you feel good? And I don't... I don't know how else to like, and it's, no matter how many ways I say it, we still get the questions. And every day, of course, there's new listeners, but it's just really the most important work you can do, and sex is going to get better.
I was thinking about this the other day because there was a news piece on female sex dolls, sex robots. Yeah. And it was very, I was very creeped out by it at first because I'm like, ugh. But then I thought, because I didn't hear of them making male ones yet. And maybe they have, I just haven't known. But I'm like, I think the women actually could use a male sex doll so they can experience what it's like to fuck without giving a shit about what the other person thinks of you.
Exactly.
And that's women, I think women, and I was certainly did this to myself all the time. I always cared about, is this a good position? I'm like, who fucking cares?
Right.
When you have an orgasm, like, it's not sexy. It is in the moment because you're both having sex and you hopefully like the person, but you know. Sex isn't really that sexy if you think about it. Right. And everyone tries to pretend it is.
They are. Silly. It's true. I hear from a lot of people who are sleeping with women. I would say women in their 20s, they're, you know, learned about sex for watching porn. Like, I don't understand if she's into it or not. I feel like they're kind of acting like the women in porn. Like, they're doing these things that are so, they're so out of their body. And I feel like these are the women who have not spent the time exploring and figuring out what makes them feel good.
And taking time with your own body, you know?
And that is important. The irony of it all is that once you learn, that is the sexiest thing. It's not making noises like this woman in porn or moving in a certain way. It's when you truly love yourself, love your body, spend time in your bedroom with a mirror between your legs and like literally going, wow, look at my clitoris. Once I start to get turned on, it swells or it's hidden behind this clitoral hood. I mean, it's really great work to do. And you're like, that's mine and I love it. But until you do that or until you just...
If you're comfortable doing that.
You don't need to start with that today. But that is a good exercise for everyone to do.
Homework.
It is homework.
I think the key.
I went to sex school. We had to make our vagina. We had to do things with like snow. We had to like...
Sex school?
Yeah. Well, I got my doctor. I call it sex school, but where I got my doctorate, we had to like... It was sex school. I went to sex parties. But no, in sex school parties. But we... You had to like one of the classes was we had to get up naked.
Interesting.
It's extracurricular in front of class. And we had to like look at our, you had a choice. Well, I don't think I ever told a story. You're looking at me like she hasn't heard this one. No, but we had to get in front of class. We could wear clothes or not. I think I wore underwear, but took everything else off. And we had to say like what we loved, what we didn't like. It was really intense. And we had to, I know. But it's really cool because you're like, why don't I love this? And I could really, I looked at it. I'm like, do I really like hate my neck or whatever it was, my like elbow? And you're thinking, oh no, I'm actually, you know, I'm beautiful the way I am. And then we have to go home and dance around and do all, it is
like shame is made up. And I remember I've had this example for when I was in fourth grade, I remember we did a project, like a fact sheet about ourselves and we had to write down our weight. And I remember overhearing a woman go, I'll never tell somebody what I weigh or never, like days earlier or whatever. And I was in fourth grade. So I remember writing down my weight and covering it up. And my teacher was like, why are you doing that? And in my head, I was like, women are supposed to feel insecure about their weight, right? And so I'm like, I don't want anybody to know. And I was in fourth grade.
My God.
And
was
I
remember from your mom or from your...
Not my mom. Not at all. I got a lot of shit from my mom.
Right. Don't get me wrong. We should throw the moms under the bus, that, right?
No, not with that. But I just remember overhearing it and going, oh, I guess this is how we behave. I don't know. And so I think of that example. And then I think of just all the ways we're fucked because we're really being presented with things that aren't realistic, like opinions of ourselves. And we're adapting them just because we're leading by example or something.
Well, I think there's like a hard push to love yourself. I don't even think it's like you should love your soul as far as your body. I don't even think you have to love your aesthetic body. I think you just have to accept that is what you have and realize that you have the choice to either you can work out, you can diet, you can make it better, or you can just say, you know what, this is how I am and this is what I like and I'm going to accept that this is what I have and this is what I look like and I'm going to do the best. And I mean, the important thing is like, are you healthy? Do your parts work correctly? I mean, that's so much more important. Do they bring you pleasure? Do you know how to use your body to get the things that you need? That's more important.
So like not love, just even be neutral, don't hate.
Just accept. Like, that's all I have. You know, everything could always be better. I mean, that's no way to live.
Right. Well, like, right, living that you're... Oh, questions. We've got questions. Oh, guys, we fucked.
Hi.
Corinne, Christina, they're awesome. Hi, ask. Yes. What are the steps you can take to desensitize from these unrealistic standards of sex?
I think first things first, masturbate with your imagination.
You're not porn. Yeah, you guys go back and forth about porn.
I do porn. I watch porn a lot, and then I'll challenge myself, and I'll be like, just masturbate to your thoughts.
Mental challenge.
It takes so much work
And I'm so disappointed because I'm like, oh man, porn is a lazy way.
It is.
To just put exactly what you want to see in a search field and get it and come in like, you know, 10 minutes. And it's, you know, it's just, you're more in tune with what you want and what you like and what you find attractive and what arouses you. If you do, it's your imagination.
It's true. And that's a skill too, building it. Like, cause what is your, what really
ask yourself
turns you on?
What turns
because
you
I think
on.
For a lot of women, it's very confusing why they're not turned on at the same time as their partner, right? Like, why don't I want, when he walks in the door, for example, a heterosexual couple, he's ready to go. I'm not, because women aren't, we're not, many women not as in touch with what actually really truly turns us on. What is our erotic theme?
Think from
in
your
our
pussy.
Lives?
I've told a lot of women that. Think from
breathe
your
into
pussy.
It. Right. Think from it. Right. Come up with your own stuff, because then it's just more top of mind. I think that women, like, they get blindsided. A lot of them, they're like, I didn't even know sex was happening or was coming, or I don't know what I like and I don't know my body.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're using your imagination, a lot of times you're going to be using real people in your life. So they're imperfect already to start with. And I think that's interesting. So you know them, it humanizes them, and it highlights imperfection as still being hot. Whereas in porn, you're seeing like the person acting their sexiest, looking their sexiest. And then I don't know, it just feels like a big show to me. I like porn, I digest a little bit. I just get too wrapped up in like how people are being treated. So doing this fucking podcast.
So how was gonna ask you guys how it has, did we answer that? We answered that. How do you think it has changed your views of sex doing this podcast for 4 years? Because first of all, I feel like there's so many questions ever about being kindred spirits in that way. Like we've been doing this, and then also I've talked about dating, but go ahead. How has it changed?
Well, one thing I didn't think that I think now is I truly feel like 97% of women have either been raped, sexually assaulted, molested, something. And half of them who at least email us have never told anybody. And I never understood why somebody would stay with an abusive partner or why somebody wouldn't report a rape. And now, oh boy, do I understand.
Oh yeah.
Hearing horror stories of like, I went to the police, I did all the right things that you're supposed to do, and then they just asked me what I was fucking wearing.
Right.
And I'm like, what the
right.
fuck?
Well, you should have worn it button to the top.
Right. Yeah.
Terrible. Right.
I mean, but I mean, for me, it's been kind of nice, like, because we talk about sex so much that I don't have to think about it in my regular life as much. So it almost created more space for me to care about other things.
Before the podcast, then you were then consumed with sex and relationships or just how to have?
Yeah, more. I mean, more so just definitely like more interested in sex than I am now. Not that it's so weird to say. I'm not disinterested in sex, but I just like
talk about it. We talk about it a lot.
Other things are.
I'm glad you guys have each other. Like, I feel like I have my staff too, but we're like, you know, you talk about it all the time. And you're like, people ask you, do you get sick of sex? Talk about sex. And I'm like, I don't get sick of it.
It's a lot of topics under the umbrella of sex that I didn't even realize.
Oh my God, it never ends. Right. But you were saying that...
I can make room for other things in my life and realize that other things are equally important to me, if not more so important to me.
But do you feel like it's improved your sex life? It sounds like you guys came out of the womb like, you know, your bodies, you're humping things. I wasn't like that. So I had
shame
to, like, learn
for sex. Because when I told my mom I lost my virginity when I was 15, 16, I was in a restaurant and she had never given me a sex talk. And then she like walked out of the restaurant and didn't talk to me. But the crazy thing is, when she found out about the podcast, obviously I withheld the title of it managed to do that for 3 years.
Wow.
And then she found out because somebody
she
posted
saw the
about
book.
On Facebook.
Book.
She didn't see the book
guys,
at that time
be
yet. But
right? Everyone should buy their book. Chocolate.
My brother texted me and goes, Mom knows. And I knew exactly what that meant. Right. And so I didn't call her. And she was kind enough to not call me and yell at me. And she just waited till she cooled off to have a conversation about it. And then come to find out why she had that crazy reaction when I was 15 years old to me losing my virginity. She was sexually assaulted when she was 11. And when she heard I was sexually active, she was so afraid that that would happen to me. And I was like, you would have gone to the grave without ever telling
exactly.
me that.
Exactly. We don't ask enough.
My fucking mother, even my mother. Like,
wow.
That was insane. That was an insane moment.
Right. And she probably hadn't even really thought about maybe or known what. That's why she reacted in that way. That's why this is the problem or the crisis around sex education, which I truly think it is, which is why I think it's so great that that we're all doing these podcasts and you got people are listening and they have places to go now where they can actually learn some useful information rather than people are just hiding it from us or repressed. They're repressed or they don't know how to talk about it. And I don't think we necessarily want our parents. I don't think we want to hear about sex from our parents.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of, my head's going to this, like, what's the bigger thing around sex now? I'm like, I want there to be stronger sex education. Yes, I can't talk to everybody.
That's where it starts.
But I think it's like a peer thing, maybe, if you're training peers in schools, or it's the aunt program or something. Because I have an aunt. I have three nieces, and all their friends, we get on FaceTime, and I'm like, okay, this is what we do. But you know, it's like, what do we do? Because my parents might have failed, but I don't even actually think if I knew what the questions were. Like, my mom was always like, if you have questions, you should come to me. I'm like, gotcha, I will. Like, I didn't know what the questions are. And even if I did, I don't want to hear about you having sex at all.
I agree with that. Because you were in politics, I have a question.
Yes, I
believe, and if there's steps to do it, I'll do it. How do we get sex education in the United States is at a dire position where you don't have to teach. You can teach abstinence only if you choose a public school, which is insane to me. But ways to combat that is you get on the school, your local school board, run to be on the board and get elected and insert these things in the curriculum. Right. And that's even an uphill battle. But is there a way to propose a new legislation to require discussion about sexual assault, sexual abuse in middle school sex ed?
Well, I think there should be. I don't think it's, well, right now, I don't think it's anything like that's going to happen in our government.
But if we wanted it to, what would we do? How will we even start? Get a senator behind it? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, you would. I think everything starts locally with politics. So I think that if you start local, it can go more global, go national. So I feel like, you know, where you guys live, if there's like, local people, like there's a school board, actually. I know, like in San Francisco, there's, and here, I'm sure there's like the school board, school and county board, when they are elected officials and they eventually want to be senator. And that's why they climb through these ranks. Right. But there are school boards that are supposed to regulate those kind of programs.
And you can be on a school board even if you don't have a kid. And I could be on my local school board in Manhattan.
You could be on the school board. Yeah, you could totally be on the school board. And it is,
because I'm paying the taxes for that.
You're paying the taxes. That's where you would start. But I think a lot of it is programs that come in from outside of the school. That's like a nationally recognized program that is sort of, maybe it's like some kind of digital, like it's online or it's an app or it's something. Mm. People come in and speak as well, but I don't think it's coming from the schools or the government. Each school has to decide if they want it. And then maybe there's some kind of,
because the DARE was a government thing, right? Because Corinne has a bit about DARE in her stand-up. And it's like, we know all about angel dust and PCP, but we didn't ever know that women had orgasms because that's not required for pregnancy.
Right. Well, we didn't know about orgasms. We knew about pleasure. It was all about fear-based education. And so I literally think if we want something to happen quick, it's not going to happen through going through that. Going to the system.
Yeah, I mean, in the book, I talked about this website that I discovered while doing research for the book called Scarlatine. And I am at 31 years old, learning more from this website that's obviously meant for teenagers than I learned in my entire life combined. And that's why I wanted to point it out. I was just like, guys, go here. This is so much more valuable than like reading some weird article from like Maxim or watching pornography.
I have to say, we have another question, but I was going to say the same thing that for the 12 years or 13 years I've been doing this, Scarlatine is the one site that I've always mentioned. It still is great. So if you have kids or anybody, like, go there and learn about sex.
You don't have
to
have a parent be part of that if you don't want the conversation.
We have another question. Hello. Hi. Good question. Is there a way to apologize to someone that you might have harassed or assaulted? Or better not to say anything.
I think
depends on the situation.
That's going to be very dependent on the situation, and the person is going to be responsible for knowing what was the last time we talked, what were the circumstances? Am I friends with this person's friends? Can I maybe check in with them first before I contact this person? Because this person might really not want to hear from me.
Right.
But I mean, I think that in an instance where maybe you don't feel like that person will be re-traumatized by hearing from you because it was like a violent rape. Nah, I don't think you want to be like,
sorry about the rape. You're looking good.
You're going to feel insulted and demeaned, you know, on top of everything you already feel.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely different levels. I actually had a really personal experience with that over the past couple of days. I got this DM on Instagram from a comedian who I recognize the name as being a comedian. I honestly couldn't pick him up out of a lineup if my life depended on me. And he was apologizing for, like, a couple of years ago, apparently he brought me up at a show in a way that implied, because of the name of our podcast, that he wanted to fuck me, and then wanted to explain that that's not what he... And I was just and I get messages like this every now and again. And I guess, especially in times like this, when like everyone's people, sexual people's emotions are flaring up and everyone's right. afraid they're going to be next to, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I feel like he was just trying to
cover his bases,
like right. and cover his bases, and also like
who have I assaulted, let me go through my list.
He wanted me to congratulate him for this incident that, number one, did not affect me at all, and also that I did not remember, and then only almost got aggravated that I wasn't like, oh my god, thank you for being the most chivalrous man. I was like, it seems to me that you just delivered a hack joke and that I was not amused by it.
Exactly.
I was like, that's what it seems like.
Don't you get
to
that
me.
Also another thing too, like that kind of thing, like we get brought up on stage by male comics when it's done in a bad taste way all the time. And it's to the point where I think the bigger point in that is like, it wasn't even a speck on my radar because that's how often it fucking happens.
That's the other thing, is that it happens all the time. I mean, because all these things have happened in my life too, these aggressions or sexual assault, not assault, but no, throughout my life it's happened. I'm like, that time.
I've been remembering
sex with Emily. They're like, who's had sex with Emily? This is me, sex with Emily, wherever I go. I'm like, huh, that's funny.
Yeah,
I've never heard that one before. Yeah. Great question, though. Thank you for that question. I think that was helpful. We're going to take a break. We love you all. Thank you for being here. Okay, you guys, Corinne, Christina, Guys We Fucked, amazing podcast, their book, check it out. We're going to do a quick shout out to our sponsors. You guys get to go shopping in the sex toy closet. Yes. I know you guys get a lot of sex toys, but we said we're going
to
do a curated.
We never get to pick them, though.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. I can't wait. Okay, so thank you for supporting our sponsors. They help keep this show available and free to you all, and we will be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. In your book, Fucked, Being Sexually Explorative and Self-Confident in a World That's Screwed, I love the term femasculated because I feel like a lot of the things that we hear from women too, you know, what is it about comparing ourselves to others, right? Mm-hmm. And I always, you know, I learned this at a young age, like I'll never be as good as being someone else.
There's always going to be somebody,
right? So
better,
I feel like
hotter,
I learned this,
whatever.
Right? So I don't do this. I mean, it's not one of my things. Like, thank God I have other things, but I don't often compare or think, why aren't I like that? Or why, you know, I do so many other things.
Neither
but
did I until
that was a way that, until what?
Until I didn't either until the ex-girlfriend.
Well, let's talk about the
emasculation
of you, of Christina, but then let's talk about the emasculated feeling like you're never good enough as a woman because we're constantly comparing ourselves to other women. Let's help women with this plagues us.
So I always kind of felt in my head that I was the hottest person the boyfriend that I had at the time had ever dated, and you know, not by a landslide, but like being attractive was important to me, way too important to me. And then I kind of started to let that go and realize, oh, there's like other things that to be good at and you could be proud of, and it looks whatever, who cares. And then when I met my boyfriend now, Steven, of 6 years, when I first met him, he was dating a famous porn star, and he had told me about it, and I was like,
Stoya, can we say this? Stoya. You talk about her all the time, right? She's on the show a while ago.
So many times I'm like, can I talk about you? Mm-hmm. The book. And And I was like, that's amazing. And then Steven and I had like a really instant connection that I filed him under my head as you can't date him, he's a girlfriend. So I kind of like categorized him there. And Stoya is a porn star who is beautiful, intelligent, really in like geeky and into doing porn and making porn for women from the female perspective. And like, she rules.
Right.
She fucking rules. And so when I met up with Steven a year later and he was like, yeah, my girlfriend dumped me. And I was like, oh, and then I started dating him and he was kind of getting over her. That was the first time that I felt so threatened by Stoya, and
that would be tough.
Yeah, and then for the longest time on the podcast, I didn't say her name because I didn't want to talk negatively about it. I feel right. gossipy, but I did have these feelings of like, she is so sexy and so effortlessly sexy, and that is not who I am as a woman. I am a goofy person. I am a, you know, I can be. I'm sexy in a totally different way. So I felt so undervalued compared, like, oh, he was dating this crazy, exciting roller coaster of a person, right. And now it's just, hey, I'm Christina. Right. And so I felt like shit about that. And then I was like, there is no word for the female version of emasculated. That's so fucked up because so many women always compare themselves to other women via the advertising industry, right. and every billboard and every commercial. So and so, yeah. And then interviewing her was like one of the most nerve-wracking experiences of my life.
Did you interview her on the podcast?
Yeah. Okay. 3 years into the podcast. Well, 2.5 maybe. Maybe it was 2. But it was 3 years of me feeling that way about her. And I remember one time having sex with my boyfriend. This was during that stage. And I wanted to tell him so bad. I feel like you don't like me as much. And I feel like your last girlfriend is so much sexier than I can ever be. And is better in bed and is capable. And I wanted to, I remember sitting on the edge of the bed and wanting, I'm like, something is not letting me say the words. And he would have been so receptive to that conversation. But instead I was acting bitchy to him or acting like I didn't give a shit and sweeping it under the rug. And like, when you feel that way, you gotta go internal, but you have to start confronting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cause it's going to surface into something very ugly.
So, and then so you brought it up to him and you talked to her and it kind of took like everything else that you admit when we talk about our fears, we talk about that kind of takes away all the power, the hold it has on you.
Oh my God, well, I humanized her because I was putting her on the highest pedestal on the highest mountain in the clouds. And then when she said on the podcast, she said, I feel like I'm standing on top of a pedestal inside of a garbage can because people treat her like shit.
Yeah.
She can't get an apartment. She can't get a bank account. She can't get, people come up to her and say degrading things when she's just trying to fucking go grocery shopping. And so I had her as this, but that's not,
we humans do that too, right.
You know, and so you can't put anybody on that pedestal ever. It's not healthy. It doesn't make any sense. And especially when you're doing it to the detriment of your own soul.
Exactly.
So that made me go, and I just felt all the weight of 3 years. Of
I can imagine.
That lift.
Well, I love that. I mean, first of all, that's like an extreme, like your ex was dating a hot porn star. Her, you happen to know.
Well, when we,
and she's like hot and cool and smart. You can't be like, well, at least she's dumb. Or well, she's, you have to be like, when we, she's everything.
When we aired the interview and people were like, it's Stoya? Oh, I didn't know it was Stoya. I would have felt like shit too. I'm like, all right.
Aaron, settle down. But the reason why I like that story, because you've come through that. You've obviously, it helped and probably brought you closer. Now your sex is even better. Who knows? But we get those emails every day from women who are like, I'm really concerned because my boyfriend, you know, I'm really inexperienced. You guys get those emails a lot from women who are like, I'm really inexperienced, or I know that he's been with more women than I have, or I know that she, you know, and that just all this worry about our sexual performance and that we're not going to meet up, we're not going to add up.
And that's not going to make you in the moment.
Oh, exactly.
And then you're not going to come.
Everything is taking up. What is your best advice for staying in the moment during sex?
Look each other in the eyes.
Yeah, intimacy.
Yeah, I mean,
going slow,
like using an acting technique. There's an acting technique that an actor named Josh Pice created. I can't remember the name of the acting technique, but basically, it's like you just have to be present in the moment. And when you find your mind drifting, you literally say out loud, "I'm back." I use this technique.
I'm back.
In my life, all the time. Obviously, you can't say out loud during sex, "I'm back," but I think to myself all the time, "I'm back." All the time. It's called committed impulse. And I think I'm back all the time because I have a really hard time staying in the moment. And I think a lot of
us
do.
All of them. I've left 16 times, but that's good. I'm back. I mean, it's so hard. Can you imagine?
It's
hard to be. I've always been this way. And now with everything else going on in the world, to be focused, I'm back.
Steven and I did this thing recently where I was like, can we just have sex, like do foreplay, and then like you're inside me, and then we just like breathe and just like stay there and don't move. Yeah. We don't move except we breathe deep, and it was so hot, that's tantra
Yo. Basically. And I was this sounds silly, but I've been doing this, you know, for a while, and people were like, oh, tantra. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to tantra eventually, like the Kama Sutra. Like I was kind of putting them in the same category that like you, like one day I'll do those positions with your leg goes up. Fuck that. But the thing about tantra, so I thought it was, and then I'm going to have a full body orgasm and I'm going to sit there for 6 hours and stare into just someone's eyes. I'm like, I can't even like sit by myself that long. But then I started to do a little like tantra light. I went to this 5-day retreat in Hawaii, because where else are you going to do tantra?
Sounds great.
With this guy, but it wasn't even about, it was with John Wineland. And he's great. He talks about like the masculine and feminine. And there were singles and then there was couples there. And there was also his girlfriend, who's a Kundalini teacher. Have you ever taken Kundalini yoga, which is also about like breathing into your pelvic floor and how we're so disconnected with our bodies.
It sounds like Italian cunt to me, but it's not. Okay.
What, Italian cunt?
Like an Italian cunt.
Oh.
Kundalini.
Kundalini, right? It does.
Sorry, I just had to get that out of my system.
It's amazing. So, but what it was, and I didn't really know what I was in for, but he was on my show and he was very powerful the way he talked about the way we are in our, the way women are in their feminine. Well, a lot of women lose our feminine because we're sort of mimicking this toxic masculinity that we think we have to be like in the world to kind of compete with men. So feminism, what it kind of brought was, oh, we're going to be tough. We're going to be strong. We're going to be independent. You know, I know I'm very much like this in this, like, I'm going to support myself and I'm going to be independent. I don't need anybody. And that's sort of how I was raised, which is super sexy in the bedroom. But no, but it's saying like, how do women get back into their bodies? Because we've lost a lot of that. And because when we are really in our bodies and feeling sexual, that's what we could get taken advantage of. And so there's just all these messages that society has passed down that we're not really in touch with our bodies. So that was kind of the premise of his podcast, is in men learning to be men. Because a lot of times we look at men and we're like, that's not sexy because he's not, there's a lot of layers. So the point is, I went to this thing and really we sat there, we had to pick partners, and I sat with this one guy, had not met him, and we were there for a few days, but we would partner up and it was like 45 minutes. We'd learn these techniques and we sat there just like my legs, like I sat on his lap with like my legs wrapped around him, but we have clothes. No, there was no sex allowed. We all had our clothes on, but this was an exercise. We'd be building up to it. We had to look in each other's eyes. And then we had to regulate our breathing. So, which isn't something when you don't really think about it, kind of starts to happen. It is uncomfortable with a stranger. Exactly. It can be very uncomfortable.
Because you're vulnerable.
And it's so intimate and so vulnerable. But, and we've been learning about bringing your feminine energy. Because men actually, the masculine, so you could even be a woman who's in your, so if you're a gay couple, lesbian, there's a masculine energy and a feminine energy with sex. Whoever takes that on, it's great. But for women, typically, the feminine brings the energy, right? And the masculine brings sort of the more of the stability in the sexual realm. So the man, he's supposed to regulate to my breath. So we're sitting there and we're looking at each other's eyes. And so my mind wants to control and be like, did he just breathe it? And he's like, no, I've got the, you know, we're not allowed to talk, but I'm just thinking, okay, he's going to pick up my breathing. And then eventually, it didn't take very long, a few minutes, we're like staring at each other and we're in each other's eyes and the breath is going and we're looking and it does. And then he says, like, start bringing your energy. So I started just to like, and it wasn't like, he was like, bring it, but I was like, I started just to breathe into my pelvic floor, like all this stuff moving up and down. And I felt like it was the most intimate experience I think I've even had with someone I did not know. And it could have escalated. Like I could see like this guy
Were
became
you aroused?
So sexy. I was aroused.
Oh, cool.
I was aroused. I was turned on, but it wasn't like I wanted to,
You're just
I wasn't
present.
Sexually, I was present.
You're just present.
I was
like
present.
Dick, yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't.
How did you pick partners? Was it based on like, were you physically attracted to this person?
No. That's the thing. But here's the amazing thing is that people who I wasn't attracted really to anyone in that way, but you realize, and this is, I think, the beauty of this work is that when you connect with someone on an intimate level and you're really present with them, I found them very attractive. I found them very connected.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't looking at everything else does fall away.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of would move through partners. But there were couples that were there working and they did breakthrough amazing work. And then there was this.
Oh my God.
About it. This is my next level stuff I've been doing the last few years. It's kind of like on my own path. Cause a lot of the stuff I've been doing on the show is, you know, I love, you know, giving advice and talking about very basic, you know, not basic, but you know, the tips, the stuff that people need to know about sex and relationships and
simple
dating.
Things,
the
101. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying is that yes, but so much of it is that we are so disconnected from who we are, from our bodies.
100%.
We don't know what we want. We lose ourselves. We expect sex is an out-of-body experience. We're trying to please our partners. And so I've just been trying to get back into my feminine, if you will.
That's so my great. Only thing with that is I'd be open to that. But the whole time I literally would be worried about being like sexually groped. Assaulted. Yeah. Yep.
But people who are going to take this court, you're in a safe space.
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't trust. I think some people, I mean, I know actually people in like the sex world who have taken advantage of that position. So like, what's your advice?
Yoga. It happens if you work at IBM. It happens everywhere.
I mean, it happens.
So how do you like kind of like calm yourself down? I mean, and it's like, it's
and not be cautious because that's going to make you not present if you're like, are you going to fucking touch me weird?
I feel like you got to pick your people. You got to pick like, I knew you know this too. You probably know a lot of people in this sex intimacy space. And I haven't talked about, note to listeners, I haven't really gotten into this retreat that much and I really would like to, but I feel like we were in a safe space. Everybody there, we'd been there for 5 days. This wasn't the first day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, sit down and wrap your legs around someone, look in their eyes. So yeah, I kind of knew.
That makes a difference.
You got a vibe.
But here's the thing. We learned this, and there was a few guys that I would pair off with. We'd do another thing where the guy had to do, not pair off, in the room though.
Yeah,
in a big room.
Sure.
And he had to do this thing where he was like, without speaking, he had to summon me over to him, like just not summon, but like to show that I beckoned me, like, would I want to go sit on his lap? And I just felt like I got this like creepy vibe from him. I did. Like not creepy, but I was like,
that's interesting.
And then I had to tell, so I told him, I said, I'm feeling not connected. He's like, well, what? And then they kept pushing you though. He said, well, what would I have to do to make you feel safe? Because a lot of times we don't feel safe. So that was another tool we learned, that if you're ever out with somebody and you feel like this could be going somewhere, but I'm not feeling so safe, or I'm feeling like we had a connection, but he just went off the rails. He did something weird. He said, I'll come up to your apartment. You say to them, you know what I would need right now to feel really safe, to feel comfortable with you. Do you know what would really make me feel comfortable? And of course they're going to say like, yeah, like what would you want? And you're like, God, well, I feel like if you maybe took a deep breath, or if you kind of sat back, or if you just sort of sat here for a minute and talked, you know, and you're just like, oh, and it kind of resets the moment. So when this guy was doing that and saying, come over to me, I was like, I really don't feel like you are seeing me right now. Like, I feel like your eyes are flitting around, and I feel like you're kind of like not really present in this moment. So there's nothing that you're doing now that is like sexy and is making me to want to go sit in your lap. So we had to get really like
every
real
man
and
needs
honest.
To have that conversation though, because I was talking to my boyfriend, was really dwelling the air right now. He's like, is someone going to come at me and say I assaulted? I'm like, you don't have anything to worry about unless you assaulted somebody, Steven. Okay. So like, don't make it like, but it's interesting. Cause he's like, men don't know how to communicate, and they don't know what they're doing wrong, and they don't. And a lot of them are like that guy who you fell out of it with, the trying to summon you across the room. He could have had the best of intentions and just truly didn't know.
Right. And he's there trying to learn. And
yeah,
I think of all
and
the
that's
other
amazing.
Women.
I wish every man could go through
this
that.
This is the things that I've been going through thinking, oh my God, this is mind blowing. Work because when I'm starting to think about what do we do about what's happening in the world right now, and especially in the States with sexual harassment, and of course we could have talked about that for days, because on my brain I'm up at night going like, I can't talk about anything. I feel like I need to figure this out. We all need to figure it out and solve this. And I'm like, well, what is it? Is it education? Like, you know, my friend's taking at work right now, he's like, we're having sexual harassment day, and he just sent me like a multiple choice quiz they're taking. I'm like,
is
oh,
it
that's
a good
gonna
quiz
work.
Or
no,
shitty
no but it's like, which one of
they
these
think-
is harassment? I'm like, dude. So I'm like, that's not gonna work. Like, I had to take that at CBS Radio, but it's really just we men and women have not learned the right behaviors and how to deal with each other, like in the workplace. If it's not sexual, then what is the appropriate way?
Then what is it exactly?
Well, I think masculinity. I think there's this great documentary on Netflix called The Mask I Live In.
Yeah, The Mask I Live In.
And
Jennifer's
it was
my friend.
Oh my
wife did
God!
That, and
that documentary,
is
the
so
heartbreaking interviews with little boys about. Them,
can't
I can't
cry.
Act like a girl. I can't tell my tell people how I'm feeling. That'll make me seem weak or girly. And I'm like, oh no. And I was at weeks before I watched that, I was at a pool with my friend, and this dad and his son were in the pool, and he was about to jump. And the dad goes, come on, don't be a girl, jump in the pool. I'm like, oh no.
Right. Well, that's where it starts.
But I think feeling deserving of pussy, straight men. I think that's that's a big thing of, even if they don't outright say, I don't feel like I deserve stuff, but a lot of the actions would say otherwise. And it makes sense given what you're taught to be as a man.
Right.
What is a man? And then that's so
exactly.
toxic.
It's so toxic. And then we're told, which is what we talk about in our shows, you guys talk about in your book a lot, which is such a good, I don't think we could say this enough, that women are not put on this planet to serve men.
No.
We don't owe them anything. We don't have to give them a blowjob. We're not giving them, you know, they don't like have to show us how to have an orgasm. It's like we are responsible for our own sexuality, our own pleasure. And just that still, and even like I said, talking to my young friends, nieces who think like, yeah, it is about people are going to like me more because I do this thing. Or it's like new picks. I think I was listening to your show and you were saying that there was a girl who said that she was getting dick pics and that she was saying
felt guilty
or like, oh, I
she
feel
was
like
very
oh.
young yeah
she was young and she's like oh I feel like
oh, the
I
TED
should
talk we said yeah. that we read her thing yeah I was like oh she was
yeah yeah
so
it was
14.
Your TED talk I watched your TED talk
she was 14
and she's like oh what do I do we feel like we oh because we're pleasers and we feel like well I should do this now it's like no you don't so this is the kind of unwinding but it starts so young so that's why I'm like yeah we could go to legislation at our senators but it starts with behavioral stuff from such a young age so it's like how do we unravel everything that we've been taught
and with the environment right now it's like is okay is Louis C.K. a bad person because he did some really shitty things like it's this war it's this like you're either great or you're a piece of shit and it's like well you can also be both I think right? you can be both and
absolutely
and one of the things that I've been so fascinated with the podcast is I've solicited emails from rapists on the podcast. I'm like, statistically, we hear about rape victims every goddamn right. day. There has to be somebody. And the latest one that I remember reading was this guy who said he would see all these douchebag guys lie to women and play them and they would get laid and he would never get laid. And so when by the time he turned 30, he cracked and we put ads on Craigslist and raped the women. And I was like, to me, I was like, well, the first problem here is you thought you deserved.
Right.
Because he gets it, you deserve it. Like, that's not, it's just, there's so.
I know, there's so much.
There's so many layers.
There's so many layers. There's so much to do. So, I think that even just these, talking about this is so important to let women, and I'm worried about men too, but I'm worried about, I don't know, just everyone.
I know.
Keep doing the good work.
You could
work.
Be more worried about women. It's okay.
Yeah, I guess I feel like.
I say it all the time.
Well, because men, feminine energy, we are ruling the world. We just, it's the repression of our
But
of
I
our
always think,
energy,
too, like with the whole masculinity stuff, I've been like having internal arguments in my head of like, I do worry more about women, but then it's like, well, men need a hug too or something.
Right.
Something's up messed up with the way that they're approaching talking to women.
Right. Because I'm not angry. I'm like really not angry at them because I feel like I can see where it's all gone wrong and how we have to rewind it. And so I'm putting this, I don't know, maybe we can all band together. I came in the other day. I'm like, you guys, I'm sorry.
We have to do something.
We need to do something now. I need to figure it out alone because this can't go on. And it's like, not. It's a discussion like this. Yeah. We start talking and someone runs for Senate. Not me. I've done too many drugs and stuff. Okay, should we do emails?
So is everybody.
Oh, so you guys, right? We've got emails.
Cool.
Okay, thank you guys for staying here. This is really fun.
Oh yeah,
of course.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so emails. You guys, thank you for emailing me on the show. If you have a question you want me to answer, that's amazing. Text Ask Emily all one word to 797979. Or you can also. Oh wait, when you do that, let me explain this. Ask Emily one word to 797979. What happens is you send that and then boop, you get a short form right back on your phone where you can enter your question and contact details. Ooh. If you want me to call you we're doing a future caller show, just indicate yes on the form. And if you want to go to the website, that's cool too, sexwithemily.com via the Ask Emily tab. As always, include your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Hi, Emily. I'm a 23-year-old hot and confident female learning new sexual experiences here and there. I was in a long relationship, and now that it's over, I'm proud to say I'm happier than ever. Am I setting my sexual standards for men too high by constantly masturbating and learning what feels good for myself when the reality of a one-time hookup to be that amazing is so low? I feel like I'm stuck on trying to find someone who satisfies me, and I'm not enjoying sex as much, but I love to have fun with myself. What can I do to help myself and the future guys I'm with? A confused and horny fan, Christina, 23, Boston.
It was me, guys. No, I'm just kidding.
What'd you say? It's what?
It was me, Christina. No, I'm
exactly.
Just
kidding. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Christina. First of all, you're doing everything that we would tell you to do. I love that you're figuring out your body, what makes you feel good. So many women, these are the messages that we're trying to get across. So I love that you are figuring that out right now. And I don't think it's selfish. I don't think that your standards are too high. But I feel like, I mean, what do you guys think? She can go have sex with someone.
I have a thought.
Yeah.
I've had this weird thing where when we started doing the podcast, it got me better at communicating sexually. And one of the things that we came out of it was three ways. Steven and I have had three ways since doing the podcast. I kind of accidentally said it on air. He edits it. So he's like, hey, you want to tell me something? And how we do it is we had this app, two of them were, we had this app called, it was called Thrinder. Tinder for three ways. Now it's called Field with two E's. And my comfort zones after we talked about it were let's go out for drinks or go out for coffee first. We will not be going home all together that night. 100% no, so that there's no
gotta
pressure.
Set those, right.
Right. And so, but that gave me the opportunity to be like, okay, well, this is something that's sexual, obviously. We're both on this app and we're not trying to be in a relationship. We just want to have sex. And so I get to ask, like, what do you like? What turns you on? What makes you come? I wanted to meet with you because I like cuckolding and I kind of want to see
my boyfriend and another woman fuck in front of me. I think that would be really exciting. Is that something you'd be interested in? Or, and I'm like, damn, that would have saved me a lot of bad sex if I had that conversation with my fuck buddies.
Right, exactly. I can't believe, so you told, right, and this is in your book too.
And I was thinking from my pussy.
Exactly.
And that really
about,
you're
worried about his judgment. You're like, that would be hot.
Because I'm like, we're all here on this app. Clearly, we want to have possibly want to have a three way with each other. So let's do the interview thing.
So why not, Christina, on these dates? You're saying like, why not just you're these one time hookups? It's a one night stand. Great.
Why not?
What
get the
better
most
time
out of it?
to do you?
You lose nothing. You're you're not. Exactly. Yeah. All you're doing is possibly communicating to have better sex with
that person. I don't know how he even knows it's a one night stand ahead of time. I guess I haven't had. I mean, when I'm traveling, I know, but I don't really like. Yeah, I'm not for that girl who's on a date and going, well, what's this going to be? Are you going to be my future or whatever? I'm just like, let's be present. I'm just, that's the way my mind works. But I don't think that, I think a lot of men would, you know, find that attractive and don't go into it tripping that it's already something that it's not.
And if a guy doesn't find that attractive, that you are into having good sex and want to talk about it first, then maybe that's not the guy you want to fuck.
Exactly.
Well, I think also sometimes women can think that it's a one night stand just because of the fact that they are having sex like so quickly. And so they can talk themselves out of any future relationship because they're like, well, I had sex day one and I didn't really get to know this person.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't live that way. So it doesn't personally bother me.
No, but doesn't it bother? Well, of course, I'm saying it bothers me that there's this whole notion of if we have sex on the first date, then that means that we're not going to be. What is it? Doesn't mean
anything. Stop with your imaginary rules for yourself.
Everyone's making up these freaking rules. Yeah. There's no sex police. There's no one saying they're not like, oh, you had sex on the first date.
There should be
these questions.
Like sex positive police.
There should be. Like, hello, yes, do you. Keep going. I just don't get it. Okay, so the second one, we'll ask another question. So yeah, I think that, well, in sum, Christina, you're not enjoying sex as much because you're so in your head. And so, because she's saying she's not enjoying sex with these one night stands. So I feel like these one-night hookups can be what you want them to be. I mean, you'll learn right away if they're not, but just bring all of you to them. All the great work you've been doing masturbating, you get an A+ on that. Bring it into these situations. You'll be surprised. Hey, Emily, I love your work. You inspire me. Anyways, I've been dating my boyfriend for a year and a half, long distance, and we only see each other every other month or two. When I do see him, I want to be attached to his penis because I miss sex with him that much. Problem is, my sex drive is way higher than his, and while he insists that I really turn him on, he only wants to have sex a couple times a visit, really only showing affection when he's actually inside me. I miss all the hot and heavy foreplay that makes sex so hot, and I don't mean just making out. I also wish he had said sexy things during the day, sent hot text, grabbed my ass, basically any signs of sexual interest. I've asked him, but he acts like it's a hassle. Mm. I love my boyfriend and it's the best sex I've ever had, but great sex takes effort on both sides and he's not pulling his weight. Is there a way I can gently help him see I need more from him? I feel like we're doomed to have the same vaginal intercourse for 10 minutes before just going to go to bed every single time. Suggesting new things is becoming exhausting because he never picks up on what I'm putting down. For now, I'm stuck having sex on his terms because it's the only sex I can get. Please help. Aaron, 20, Maryland. I'm
best sex you ever had.
She's 20.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying is that, well, I hear this a lot from young women who are like, this is the best relationship I've ever had, but the best sex I've ever had, but you're 20. And you can't tell everyone, well, you're 20 or 18, which is like, you want to do a lot of times.
Of course.
Because when you're 18, you're like, no, but I'm really in love and I'm going to marry this person and it is the best sex I've ever had. So, I mean, I get it. Your sex drives are not going to match up at this young age. And I think that changing... it's not good. Right.
It doesn't sound sexually compatible.
No. No, it's not the best.
If you've already had the conversation.
And also, like, you can't, I mean, just when you're that young, I don't think you're emotionally mature enough to handle the complexities of a long distance relationship where you're only seeing someone like once a month.
Right.
That's a really, really challenging thing, even for adults who are really comfortable with themselves. I can't imagine trying to navigate that at age 20.
Exactly.
There's too much change going on. There's too much finding out who you are. And then, so I feel like you're probably kind of like freezing yourself because you're constantly waiting for this other person.
Yeah.
Instead of just consistently developing.
Yeah, it's true. I know. I believe that long-term relationships should only pursue them if you eventually have plans to be living in the same city. Like, give a time limit. It could be happening in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months.
Right.
And also, you're very young. You are 20 years old, and that you're already having all these sexual complications. Like, I thought I didn't get to the bottom of it. I'm like, how old is she? She's 20. It's like, it just already sounds really, really complicated. And you could actually be with someone right now who's in the same city, and you can work on these things. And I do believe, though, for anyone listening, because this is a very common conundrum, that you're like, how do I get my partner to do what I want? And I've already asked him for it, and he didn't hear it. when we're asking our partners for things sexually, the thing is that it's a whole new behavior. So if someone just says once, like, I really wish you would go down on me more. Let's say we hear that a lot. Just hearing that, your partner's like, oh yeah, I get it. You want more oral sex. Okay, I'll get on that. And then the next time having sex, they might not remember. They're not really sure. Like, I did it for a minute. What does that mean? And I don't think that we often have enough information about changing behavior or what that even means. So maybe the partner's not going down on you, for example, because they think you don't like it. They don't know what they're doing. There's just so many layers to it. But when we think we've told someone something once, we get mad. We're like, oh, I've told them once that I want this. It doesn't work. That these conversations around sex need to be much more expansive and detailed. And so you can't write off a person or a partner because you had that, you know, once or twice and then it's done. Like, these are the kind of things where you have to figure out how you both learn, because it's learning new behaviors, how you both listen. And so just because we think we told our partner something a million times, we probably haven't. They probably didn't hear it right. There's a lot of layers.
Also, too, I like with the going down on, and I always say when I talk with Steven, like, I would say I love when you go down on me,
right?
It's like my favorite thing in the world. Like, if that's what I wanted to communicate,
right?
And then and then that's what he tells me too. And then I respond to that because I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm going to do that because I want to please him. You know,
exactly. So always pleasing, always saying, like, exactly the compliment sandwich. I love, God, that felt great. I love when you came in and you like went down on me. You when you were kissing my neck earlier. I don't know what you were doing. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Reinforce. We love that. Okay, guys, this was fun.
Thank you so much.
You're awesome. Thank you for being here. Corinne Fisher, Christina Hutchinson, Guys, We Fucked is their awesome podcast, the anti-slut shaming podcast, and Fucked, Being Sexually Explorative and Self-Confident in a World That's Screwed. Everyone check out their book. Check out their podcast, your social media. We said, shout out again to it.
SRY About Less NYT on Twitter. Sorry About Less Night Everything Else. I'm Christina Hutch.
I'm Philanthropy Gal on everything.
Yeah.
You're doing great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Success.
Thank
you. All the work you're doing helping people. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And
so
you guys
much.
Are hilarious too. Their podcast is super fun. Thank you for being here. Thank you everyone for listening. Thanks to my amazing team. Thanks to Ken and Jamie, intern Shannon and Jenny, producer Lark and Michael. I love you all. And thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.